This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. Glad to have you along on a very sunny day in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, just off the Capitol Square. Zommers, a little chilly, a little nip in the air, but again, the sun, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I will say... At this time of day, when you're trying to see computer screens, the sun is not very helpful.
I don't mind it. I'll take it. I'll take the sun. It's okay. And I know for our friends and listeners kind of over along the lakeshore, Lake Michigan area, southeast Wisconsin, there are some wind chill advisories there. There were some wind chill advisories overnight in other places. You know, once you get down to a wind chill of 20 below and the kids are out there waiting for the bus or you're trying to walk to work, just, you know, we forget. Because winters have not been what they traditionally were, perhaps. But we forget we can't just walk everywhere in a light jacket during this time of year.
Yeah, you really need something that can cut out that wind. You need layers. You need a scarf, gloves, hat, all that good stuff.
I've said it once. I'll say it before. I'll say it 1,000 times. And I am not being paid to say this from my days working at L.L. Bean. And you can find an L.L. Bean here at Hilldale and Madison and also in beautiful Brookfield for our southeast Wisconsin listeners. My waterproof, windproof rain jacket from L.L. Bean, Gore-Tex, one of the best investments I ever made because they're not cheap. They're like 225-ish bucks. But at the time, I got it for half off because I was an employee. And so that's one of the great things L.L. Bean does is they give every employee, it was twice a year, a card, and you got two pieces of outerwear, two shirts, two pants, and an accessory all at 50% off.
That's pretty nice.
And the deal was it had to be something you could either wear at or to work. So it had to be kind of tangentially attached to work. But I'm telling you, if you want to make an investment, because the great thing, because you nailed it, you could have waterproof or you could have, but the windproofing, an article of outer clothing that cuts the wind, it really helps with your body heat.
Absolutely. I got a similar jacket at REI. You know, it's intended to be a snowboarding jacket, but it's also water and windproof and similar price for it. Also been amazing so far.
Yeah. It's just, so be smart. We as Wisconsinites tend to be smart, but we just forget. We get lured into the warmer temperatures. It's January, folks, in Wisconsin. So dress up. They're saying though, maybe parts of the state warms up into the 30s and 40s by the weekend. So there you go. Dave checking in from New Berlin on this beautiful afternoon, saying good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, Dave. Always happy and glad to have you along. For those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, what have you, I have my Wisconsin basketball quarter zip on because I'm going with Scan Dan, Jeff Daniels, to the Wisconsin Badger basketball game tonight against the Ohio State University comes to town. Big game tonight. Badgers back in the top 25, now ranked number 24 in the country after a 5-game win streak. And tonight, Greg Gard, head coach of the Badgers, if he wins tonight, it will mark the 200th career head coaching win for Greg Gard, nicknamed by some online, the Silent Assassin. I think because he's not a super, but he's no Bo Ryan in terms of, like, you know, being vocal, being around Bo quite a bit for a period of my life. Bo is opinionated, both on the court and off. A wonderful man, one of the most influential people in my life. I have a lot of respect, but his coaching style, different. Greg Gard is much quieter, but he just gets the job done.
Yeah, both, it seems to be working.
Both equally successful, I was just going to say. So anyway, if you would like to hear the game tonight, please join us on Civic Media. It'll be broadcast locally on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. If you're not in one of those markets, we have you covered. Just download the Civic Media app. It is free. Go to your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Pre-game show starts at 7 o'clock on the app on the stations mentioned. And then tip-off time at 8. A late start tonight. I may be a bit groggy when I come in tomorrow's hours.
Well,
you know, these 8 o'clock games, you know, for a middle-aged guy, can't stay out as late as I used to. Let's see here. Dave in New Berlin saying, tough call on that one, Todd. One could buy a lot of whiskey with that kind of money.
Referring to the jackets.
Oh, the jackets, yeah.
A couple hundred bucks.
Well, I'll guarantee you, as we say back home, Dave, that the jacket will be a lot more effective than the whiskey. Maybe not as much fun, but certainly much more effective and, you know, and of course, healthier as well. So anyway, the Badgers taking on the Ohio State University. Big game. At the bottom of the hour, our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be here for a Tuesday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Odd how that works. Tuesday Tangents tends to fall on Tuesdays, but not always, as it turns out. Luke will be along. We'll talk a little Badgers, a little current events. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and so much more today. Also, a little bit later, going to spend some time on what's happening in Washington, D.C. The confirmation hearing going on today for Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. Some great questions and points being raised at this hearing. We're going to bring you a couple of those cuts a little bit later on in the program, let you hear about that. How about this? I know we have Vikings fans who listen to the show. I'm not trying to be catty or anything. But there was a certain sense of satisfaction last night watching the Vikings completely fall apart. I don't know if they thought, we beat the Packers, our season's over. But it looked like the Vikings caught whatever the Packers had. They looked terrible last night. Got pounded. Vikings are done. So now the Lions are the only hope left in the NFC North. So we'll go through the NFL playoffs a little bit later. Also, Republicans in Washington, D.C., Joe Biden said it. Republicans denied it before November 5th. Guess what? News leaks now that Republicans out in D.C., looking to cut $479 billion, with a B, from Medicare. Oh, no. We don't want to cut Medicare and Social Security. Whoops, actually we do.
Not a surprise, nor is it unexpected.
Nor is it unexpected for the Republic. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And again, these are proposals. Don't get too anxious yet. But it is interesting that some of these things that Biden called out over the summer are now coming to fruition. So all that and much more here on The Big Show today. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Want to begin, though, with a great article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Sophie Carson. Great reporter. This is great reporting. Headline, think H-1B visas are just a Silicon Valley issue. Hundreds of Wisconsin firms use them. And this is the kind of discussion I want to have more of in this year. Taking a national issue like immigration, and instead of going back and forth with the political talking points of both sides, I like to put it into context and have discussions about how these things will affect us here locally and regionally in the state of Wisconsin. Great article by Sophie Carson. It starts out with immigration, a key part of incoming President Donald Trump's agenda. A split has already arisen among his supporters over the role of H-1B visas that allow U.S. employees to hire foreign workers in specialty occupations. Many in the high-tech world say the H-1B visa program is essential to bring in needed expertise. Others suggest that the program takes American jobs and provides cheap labor for wealthy companies. But This isn't just an issue involving Elon Musk in Silicon Valley. Any changes would have wide-reaching effects for Wisconsin businesses too, according to local immigration attorneys. Wisconsin universities, better known as the University of Wisconsin System, hospitals, manufacturers, and financial companies have been granted thousands of H-1B visas to hire foreign-born employees in specialized jobs that are hard to fill with American workers, according to about 15 years of federal data. According to Grant Sovereign, a partner at Quarles & Brady, law firm here in Wisconsin, who leads its immigration process, Grant says, quote, there's been a lot of really, really successful manufacturing companies, especially in the Milwaukee area, that need smart people to come in with new ways to do old things. That's why they hire H-1B workers. Reporter says, here's what we need to know about H-1B visas, the current debate over its merits and how the program has been used locally. And again, this I want to step away from the article, and I know a little something about this because, again, my time in Congress, almost 5 years, one of the areas I was assigned to when I first started as a constituent caseworker and continued throughout the entire 5 years was immigration. There was a time prior to 2000 where I would have kind of, not to brag, I mean, I'm not an attorney, right? But there was a time based on my experience of knowing the law that I would have said I was an immigration expert. Now, post 9/11 and into 2000, well, past 2000, a lot of things have changed. And so while I have a good understanding, I'm no longer an expert because I just haven't dealt with all the particulars. But I can tell you my time working for former Congressman Scott Klug, I helped a lot of folks through the H-1B process. A couple of things to know. An employer can't just go out and hire an H-1B person. There are requirements to advertise for the job for a certain number of days, weeks. I think it was actually 2 months at the time. And you had to show where you posted this job, how you posted it, and you had to be able to prove that you weren't able to get in qualified applicants that are already Americans. That's number one. Number two, both the employer and the person applying for H-1B have to, there's a lot of fees. As the article points out, it can cost upwards of $10,000 to get through the process. So this isn't just someone willy-nilly saying, I want this job. I've told this story on this program, and I'll tell it when we come back. My former boss, Scott Klug, actually applied for an H-1B visa for a very specific constituent case person. And INS at the time messed it up. Not once, not twice, but three times a lady, as Kenny Rogers once said. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Thanks for the times that you've given me. The memories are all in my mind. And now,
Lionel Richie, thank you, Troy, out in Mount Horeb. I was half right. I said once, twice, three times a lady, and sung by Kenny Rogers. He did sing the cover. But yes, let's give credit where credit so richly deserves. Lionel Richie, say you wrote the original. I think you wrote it, probably. Very talented guy. Lionel Richie did once, twice, three times a lady. And then Kenny Rogers covered it. They're both great renditions, by the way. Talking about H-1B visas, great article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Sophie Carson, great reporter, putting it down there where the chickens can get at it. Back in the 90s, when I worked for former Congressman Scott Klug, we had a very specific need in the office for an immigration type of liaison that spoke a foreign language. some other needed skills. And it advertised it for over 6 months and could not find anybody with required skills. So we had someone who had graduated from Marquette University. And when you when you're here on a certain visa, a student visa, you're allowed to stay on and work for another year under what's called practical training. And so during that time, a United States congressman, a Republican, petitioned for an H-1B visa for this guy. Proved that we couldn't find anybody to fill the position. And remember, this is just at the start of the internet, so most of this stuff was all still via paper. The then INS lost the application of the United States congressman not once, not twice, but three times. And I tell that story, that's the short version, to just say that's how the U.S. government treats a sitting United States congressman. Think how they treat a common person who's not, and the frustration. But again, these H-1B visas, you have to prove you can't hire an American worker. You have to pay a fee. It's a long and lengthy process. In this article, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the most typical path to an H-1B visa begins at a United States American university. Hundreds of thousands of international students earn degrees in the U.S., often in STEM fields, and want to stay here. After college, students can work for 1 year or up to three in a STEM field to get on-the-job experience. Each year, their employer can enter the H-1B lottery. If they aren't chosen in any of the 3 years, they must return to their home country, go back to school, or find another way to stay in the United States legally. And it says competition is steep. At least 300,000 people apply each year for a shot at the 85,000 visas, so there's about a 20 to 30% chance of being selected. If you're chosen, you get to stay, but it does not come with permanent residency status. When U.S. educated students are in sought-after fields leave the country, it's a drain on talent, said Kelly Forrester, or Fortier, a partner at Michael Best, who leads the immigration practice there here in Wisconsin. Even if they work remotely for the American company, they aren't living and paying taxes here. Sovereign said that it's a misconception that most H-1Bs are hired directly from overseas. Some large national firms do that, he said, but the majority of his clients are hiring U.S. college graduates. Subheadlines that do companies really need to hire foreign workers because of a shortage of American applicants? Article says that question has been at the center of the debate over H-1Bs. One reason for the shortage is that American-born students aren't pursuing specialized STEM degrees at the same rate as students from places like India and China, two countries that make up 84% of H-1B applicants. Further, research shows that more than a half of U.S. master's degrees in STEM fields and nearly half of doctorate degrees are going to foreign students. Now, there's a lot we could dive down on that. First of all, both in undergraduate and graduate programs, at least here in Wisconsin and other places, I'm sure, they're making more room for foreign students, applicants, because they get a lot more revenue. It's a better business deal for universities to accept foreign students because it brings in more revenue than in-state tuition payers. Part of that problem is largely the result of underfunding by the Wisconsin legislature, which of course happens to have been in Republican control for several years. If we were funding our universities at a higher level, more reasonable level, universities could admit more in-state students to balance their budget. Number two, I know a little bit something about this in the back end. Both my godsons are recent graduates in the last 3-4 years of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. My oldest godson, Alex, bioscience, working for Pfizer, doing great out in Indiana. His partner, his girlfriend of several years, she has both a undergrad and a master's degree in mechanical engineering from UW-Madison. When she got done with her master's, it was like an NFL competition for her. She got to write her ticket, basically, because there were so few people in her field with her experience, with her grades, that she had companies fighting over her. And now she's working for a division of 3M and doing very well. Thank you very much. And my youngest godson, who we just saw out in Seattle, Bremerton, mechanical engineering, aerospace, working for the United States Department of Defense and the Navy. So yes, there are plenty of jobs there in these fields, but we are not properly funding and supporting our universities and encouraging kids to enter these STEM fields. And of course, that starts with properly funding our K-12 schools so that kids are ready and prepared to go into STEM programs at universities. In light of that, companies can't wait forever for Republican legislatures to get their act together. They have to hire people for their companies. And this is not a Republican versus Democratic thing, by the way. Critics of the H-1B program take issues with workers that stay in the U.S., who workers stay in the U.S. is tied to their job, and then express concern that companies pay less than the American-born colleagues. Local attorneys point out that the program does require employers to pay workers at a minimum either the prevailing wage for the job and the city or the average wage of American-born workers of staff doing the same job. These are, and by the way, we're going to come back and tell you some of the top companies in Wisconsin that use H-1B visas. The answer may surprise you. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. If it's Tuesday, it's Meet Luke Mathers. It's Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Luke Mathers, Civic Media's very own, looking natty in your Marquette University quarter zip. How are you?
No, this is not Marquette University. This is just a blue quarter zip. Stop that. I'm a Badger through and through.
I know you are. You're actually a graduate.
I am.
And no, I say that because I went with my former boss, Scott Klug, who's a Big East season ticket holder at Marquette. And I went there last week. Big game against Georgetown. Marquette came back and played well. But he specifically says, I'll take you to the game, my treat, but you may not wear Badger red. So, because, of course, the last time I got, I was at during the RNC on Marquette trying to promote them, I got kicked off of campus for having a Motion W on my pop-up.
So
I have a quarter zip, very similar to that color.
And that's what you wore to Marquette.
That's what I wore to Marquette.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, I won't wear this to Marquette. If I was going to Marquette, I would wear my... The only time I'd probably go see a Marquette basketball game is the once a year that they play Wisconsin, and I'd be repping.
And you rep
I'd be
Wisconsin.
Repping my Badgers.
Your alma mater.
Yes.
Of course. So we're going to get to sports in just a second, but I told people I would follow up on this, and so I want to do that. Get your take as well. A story by Sophie Carson in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Think H-1B visas are just Silicon Valley issues? Hundreds of Wisconsin firms use them. Talking a little bit about the truth on this, how this works, and the fact that, you know, I handled this, and I want to be clear. This is back, you know, almost 25 years ago, mm-hmm. and certainly things have changed, but I did have a lot of experience. There was a time when I considered myself an expert on immigration. I don't anymore because of all the changes. But number one, companies have to first advertise and demonstrate to Department of Labor that they've attempted to hire American-born citizens for this job. And they can't find anybody with the qualifications. They can't fill it. And that's why they're petitioning for H-1B. Number two, both the employer and the prospective employee have to go through all kinds of application processes that add up, as noted in the article, sometimes $10,000 or higher. So this is not just an easy thing that's happening. And this is, and I've said the first part of the show here, the first half hour, I wish our Republican legislature, I can only speak for Wisconsin, was funding both K-12 education to prepare kids for STEM programs and our university system higher. In light of that, there's a need for this. And I want to get this, and I'll turn it over to you, Luke, for your take on this. I teased this before the break. Here are the top 10 Wisconsin companies that use H-1B visas. Fiserv Solutions, 402 employees. University of Wisconsin System, 269. Milwaukee Board of School Directors, 147. Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, 126. And then it goes down to a company called Expires. Rockwell Automation, big employer out in my hometown, Richland Center, manufacturing firm in Milwaukee, 66. Milwaukee Electric Tool Corporation, American Family Mutual Insurance Company, Medical College of Wisconsin, and GE Precision Healthcare. I wanted to talk about the story, Luke, because I think we've talked about this here at Civic. So many things happen nationally, and I've been guilty of this, get wrapped up in the national talking points. And I think it's at least worthy of a discussion of how things are happening in Washington do affect us here locally in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that's a hugely important aspect to how we as Wisconsinites communicate. Because I mean, the national news cycle will suck you in, and all of a sudden it becomes easier, I think, to bicker or argue politics with people when issues are nationalized, because there's less skin in the game. You're like, oh yeah, this doesn't actually truly affect what's going on here in our state. And I think this is an excellent kind of localization of what this discussion means for us here in Wisconsin.
So, I mean, I know you have feelings on this, maybe not quite the same as mine. I wish in a perfect world, we wouldn't need as many H-1B visas. My position is, because of the variety of reasons I've already mentioned, I think they're needed. And as I said before the break, this is not a Republican Democratic hard line. According to the article, Trump ally Elon Musk found himself at odds with the more anti-immigrant factions of the Republican Party over the debate. On his platform X, formerly Twitter, Talk Todd, he promised, quote, to go to war on this issue, the likes of which you cannot possibly comprehend, Elon said. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, Democratic Senator of Vermont, emerged as a critic of H-1B, calling it exploitative. He charged that major corporations laid off Americans while hiring foreign workers. Senator Sanders said, quote, the main function of the H-1B visa program and other guest worker initiatives is not to hire the quote-unquote best and brightest, but rather to replace good-paying American jobs with low-wage indentured servants from abroad. The cheaper the labor they hire, the more money the billionaires make, Sanders said in a statement. Luke Mathers, what say you?
Well, I think this wouldn't it be nice if this was the aspect of immigration that we were having kind of a conversation about, and yeah, and not just the former, soon to be once again president, as he came down that escalator in 2015, where he says they're sending rapists and murderers, and yes, some are good people. The fact that has been the tone, more or less, of the immigration discussion over the last 10 years, rather than how can we have an immigration policy and system that works for all of our communities? How can we not only attract workers to come here to the United States, but then also work with those individuals and help them become Americans? Help them become legally part of the community that they are living in and working in. And so I think there's a lot of nuance to this. I think that there are probably some companies that exploit HB1 visa workers.
I agree with that. And you mentioned the U-lines off the air.
Well, and then that's the complex aspect of the immigration thing too, because there's an HB2
right,
visa, which is different. It sounds like, so when we were prepping to get on the air here and I asked you what you wanted a tangent about, the first thing that came to mind was the story that I saw, I believe, at The Guardian, late last month, about how there are companies that will, like the U-Line company here in Wisconsin and Northern Illinois, where it seems like they try to find loopholes. And that's what we see in all types of law. I was going to say, you see it in tax law, you see it in campaign finance law, you see it well-off individuals go find the best lawyers and accountants and anybody that they can to brief them and try to skirt along the gray areas of what the law is, where they can try to get away with shadier tactics. And as the senator from Vermont outlined, the less money that they have to pay, the more that comes to them in profits. And I think that that is for the companies, for the mega rich, well-off individuals that are finding those loopholes and exploiting them, that's the underlying incentive for them to do so.
But I think you've helped us lay out here a great example of where we are at in the media and in messaging and in politics in America in a nuanced way here, because on the right, when you hear the extreme, I guess I'll use the word extreme, but the very partisan side of the right is, oh, this is all about bringing in quote-unquote foreigners and not putting America first. And on the more partisan left, you're hearing, oh, this is exploiting people. And as we just showed here, if you actually dig down, do reporting, use stories like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and get to the facts, the truth generally, it turns out, is somewhere in the middle. And many of these things, and then it gets down to the more the bedrock issues of our state legislature, other places, if they'd be doing their job. If you had folks out in D.C. working in a bipartisan fashion like Republican Senator from Oklahoma Jim Lankford tried to do and Hakeem Jeffries tried to do to work together on the Republican-Democratic side, but Trump killed it. If we'd actually have respect for that process, gee howdy, we'd actually get to a place where we could actually get something done.
Yeah, because I do fear, Todd, that although you've been out of this game for, what, you said 25 years or so?
Almost 23.
I fear that not a lot has actually changed. You may be more of an expert still than you think you are, even though you've been out of the game that long.
Maybe.
And so
could be.
It's one of those things where immigration as a subject matter, I think it is highly, highly effective as a rhetorical campaign tool. And therefore, there is a lot more to be gained off of the politicking around immigration than there is for these actors, our lawmakers, the individuals that represent us that are supposed to be going to Madison, to Washington, D.C. to solve these problems. There's more incentive for them to just campaign around them every 2 or 4 years rather than truly solve the problems.
Yeah. Agree there, my friend. All right, let's something else we could agree upon. I have to be a little careful because we have some friends who are a little salty today. Wasn't it just delicious last night? Did you watch the game? Did you watch the Vikings?
I watched the game.
It was delicious.
Delicious.
I mean, the game got changed to Arizona because of the terrible wildfires in LA. Yes. And of course, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go to all those folks in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So it could not be played in LA at SoFi. Had to be moved to beautiful Glendale, Arizona, outside of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And it turns out because of that, it was like 50-50 Vikings fans down there.
It felt, I forget if it was Troy Aikman or Joe Buck that were saying, it felt a lot like a bowl game. Or you know, it might have been Scott Van Pelt analysis. Yeah. SVP was kind of like, this had a bowl game feel to it. Right. It did not have home field advantage like most of the wild card games all had this weekend for the teams that won their divisions.
I'm probably going to paraphrase. Like, I don't think I can get it exactly verbatim. But I thought the line of the night was Joe Buck with about six and a half, 7 minutes left. And the Vikings were down by 18. Or 16 or 18. I think it was 18. And Buck says, just kind of to anyone, I think to Aikman, but to anyone, says, I assume the Vikings know that they're down by 18.
I think it was Aikman to Buck. I think Aikman said that to Buck. Because Troy Aikman throughout the whole second half was kind of like, hey, where's the urgency here from the purple people?
I'll pick on our own team a little bit, the Packers. I mean, I said before, it looked like the Vikings caught whatever the Packers had when they played.
It was
Vikings
clearly going around. Somebody called it. Somebody referred to it as pumpkin, like the Cinderella, the pumpkin timer going off for both the Packers and the Vikings. And I don't know. I felt bad because honestly, I don't think what Stafford did in that first quarter was an incomplete pass. I thought that was kind of
the way the ball bounces.
They didn't even argue it was the way the ball bounces. They argued it was the motion of the hand release of the ball and the fact that he that counted as an incomplete pass instead of a fumble and then recovery for a touchdown on Minnesota's behalf. Like, I'm not a Vikings fan here, folks. I'm a Cheesehead through and through, just like I'm a Badger through and through. But I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh, look, we got a game here. It's going to be 10-10 going. It was the second quarter when it happened.
Who was it, the Belichick or Nick Saban likes to say? If and buts were candy and nuts.
Belichick said, I was watching the Manning cast, which Belichick was the first half guest with the Manning brothers. And he jokingly called it right away. He's like, no, they're going to roll this back. And he goes, you know why? Because they have no rules in the NFL that benefit the defense. He said it's an offensive league. He's like, it's going to be on the offense's behalf. And so, like, Bill Belichick was with the Manning brothers for the Manning cast yesterday evening. And he had it. Exactly, like he predicted it exactly right before the ruling came. Mm-hmm. And the wild part was they didn't even reference replay assist. There was no challenge flag thrown. That was a direct from like New York come in is what Belichick said. And I kind of agree with him. And I thought the Vikings got the bad end of a break for that.
Second round is set for Saturday. Houston is at Kansas City on ABC, ESPN at 3:30. Washington, the Commanders at Detroit Lions. I think the Lions are going to win it all on Fox at 7 o'clock. Sunday, it's going to be the Rams at Philadelphia on NBC at 2. I'm assuming these are Wisconsin times. And Baltimore at Buffalo at 5:30 on CBS. Those are your second round. I like the Lions.
Yeah, who doesn't like the Lions as the favorites at this point? Like, they've been rolling over the league pretty much all year. The Lions look really good. And I think that I would like to see a Buffalo or Detroit Super Bowl, Lions, Bills. But I think the way that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have been playing, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Baltimore versus Detroit.
The nice part is Earl Ingram said this morning that if the Lions win, he's giving everybody at Civic Media $100. So I thought that was generous. Back with Luke Mathers on the other side. What's grinding his gears in Badger basketball? Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Directly off the Luke Mathers Top 25 Spotify playlist for 2024. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show.
It's Civic Media.
9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour number two, slightly after the start of the show, hour two. Time for What's Worse? And our graphics department here at the All Ball Show. Because here we go. For those people's 30 people watching on the stream, here we are. Zomers, show them. This is fantastic. Look at that. What's worse? The 1980s or the 1990s? I'm invested in both.
80s were worse.
Really?
Yeah, no Luke or Zomers.
we'll get into that after the top of the hour.
There you go.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Have some fun.
Well done. All right, that'll be in hour number two. Also, I'm going to give you some cuts from the hearing today on Pete Hegseth. Out there in D.C. for Secretary of Defense, or is it defense? we have some cuts for both the Republican and Democratic side on that. But time once again to talk with our friend Luke Mathers for our Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Mark and Pertisac, got to make it quick. What do you have for us, my friend? Something about L.L. Bean.
Well, L.L. Bean, I've got some stuff that's from L.L. Bean that's 40 years old that we're during hunting season that's still fully usable.
Right?
There's some wool stuff. That is just really just fantastic stuff. I mean, that, I don't...
Do you have any bean boots? Bean boots?
Not bean boots, there's some wool bibs and some wool hunting pants that I got, and they still fit, and they're still usable. I just wear them a few days a year, but, they hold up. I mean, for goodness sakes, I got a wool coat that I picked up, a Foremost wool coat from Sears that I picked up at the St. Vinny's for $5.
$5?
I was standing in line buying it. started offering me $15 for it, and I said, "No way, I'm going to sell that because it's a heavy-duty wool coat and it's still, you know,
that's great,
well made, right, back in the 1960s, probably
1960s, which were better than both the 80s and 90s." Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. We just got I'm up against the clock here. We were talking earlier in the show about the coldness, Luke, and,
yeah,
one of my best investments I made while I worked at L.L. Bean was a windproof rain jacket.
Oh yeah, that's the worst part of the weather, though.
The wind. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you just stay warm?
I just layer up because
you have a wife and two dogs. You have plenty of people to keep you warm.
the two dogs demand to be walked regardless of what the temperature is outside. So Aurora loves this weather. Like, really? she was a December puppy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when she was born two Decembers now ago. That's mm-hmm. wild. And she just loves spending time outside. Like, I had to basically drag her back into the house this morning, even though it was like 2 degrees outside.
Quick thoughts for you. Number 24, yes, the Badgers are back in the men's top 25 basketball rankings. 24-ranked Wisconsin, now 13-3 on the season, 3-2 in the Big Ten, takes on and hosts the Ohio State University at 8 p.m. tonight at the Kohl Center. You can listen to the game across select stations on Civic Media. As Letterman says, I hope one of your stations has been selected.
And if not, you can listen to it on the Civic Media app.
Yes. Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, or on the Civic Media app for free. Lukester, oh, by the way, pregame show starts at 7 o'clock on the app. Who do you like, Lukester?
I think we're going to take care of business. Ohio State's just one of those that, you know, the Big Ten is such a difficult conference in both football, basketball, all the sports. It is hard to know, but I was at the Kohl Center when they hosted Iowa a couple weeks
ago. Were
back
you
now.
Really?
Yeah, and the house is rocking. I'm hoping there's going to be more students back on campus as we're getting closer to the spring semester getting underway. But I think the Badgers are going to take care of business. Yeah. I think they'll.
Are you going
tonight?
Take care.
Not tonight. Right. No, I almost did.
Really?
I almost got some.
Then he heard I was going. He said, "Forget it. I'm not going."
It's not the reason, Todd. Stop it.
If Guard wins tonight, his 200th career win, I got that nugget from our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens.
Yeah. Mike's always on top of that beat.
The best.
Every single sports beat around the state.
There's nobody better than Mike Clemens. All right, Luke, sir, got 2.5 minutes. What's grinding your gears?
Well, I queued up that this song to bring us back into this segment.
Thank you.
It's titled Home, because what grinds my gears is the Chicago Bears fans that have been just elated. And that's why I'm not trying to put any salt in the Minnesota fans' wounds. That's not my style. I don't want to be that. I've got some friends that are Bears fans that I'm trying to be the bigger person on a lot of this stuff. But the fact that they are all high in my, Chicago has got the same amount of wins in the playoffs as the Green Bay Packers, and all of this revel in our unfortunate showing against the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend.
5-12.
That's what grinds my gears, though. They are just so... And because you want to know where they watch the playoffs from?
Home.
Right. So,
and, you know, the Bears fans, and especially the Viking fans, should check their Super Bowl Lombardi Trophy case.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it is just one of those things, and I got a buddy that's just poking all the fun at Jordan Love, the Green Bay Packers. I'm like, the McCaskies are going to find a way to ruin your 2025 season as a Bears fan. Anyways, just sit and wait.
It might be called Mike McCarthy.
It very well could be. The joke is Matt Nagy is a potential candidate on the coaching carousel again, now that he's been doing a good job with Kansas City. They've been winning games. Matt Nagy's the offensive coordinator for Kansas City, and the joke is that Virginia McCaskey is up there in age. She's a little elderly. She could accidentally hire Matt Nagy again, and I think that would be comedy too.
Virginia McCaskey, you don't know whether it's her or a figure in Madame Tussauds. They're equally about as expressive. How about Prime being rumored to go to Dallas?
I think it's interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. It won't work.
I'm not gonna say that. Never say never. There is literally so many crazy things that are happening in the world that is not even cracking the top 10 of crazy things.
And quickly, people getting on Matt LaFleur saying they should get rid of him. Nuts.
Stupid.
Nuts.
Stupid decision. Yeah. So Matt LaFleur, not the problem. We got to clean some things up. They're this youngest team. Second youngest team. The only younger team was last year. Yeah, they're gonna. There's room for improvement.
Luke Mathers, never the problem, always the solution. Thank you, Luke, sir. We appreciate you. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Stay tuned. What's
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.